Well, the psalmist writes, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." There is a beautiful glow in this room. The way the light comes in at this time of day is just beautiful. It's the little things in life, you know, and the way the light comes in at certain times of day is a beautiful thing to behold. And pray for each of you that we would all, with one voice and heart and song, that we would each walk in the light as he is in the light, and that we would enjoy just the light of his countenance and his favor. And it's a beautiful thing to behold him with you and get to proclaim his excellencies with you. Just a couple of things to note for tonight. The Fall Festival outreach booth on Saturday the 24th, the Reckleys have done wonderful work getting this organized for us. And apparently we had it set to go last year, and then it got pushed back, and then it got pushed back again due to different various circumstances of life. And now we get to do it in just a few weeks. And so pray for this. Pray for our ability to take advantage of this. There'll be lots of people milling about. Pray that we would use this as an opportunity to talk, to simply visit with people. And there are all sorts of ways the Lord could use this. And so pray for people and for good conversations. October 24th from 11 to 4. And just let Joy or Scott know if you'd like to sign up for a time slot during the day. It doesn't have to be long, and just be a short time if you'd like to do so. Basically passing out literature, passing out information on this congregation, but it's not just about this congregation. We also want to make sure that we draw people. I'm passing out gospel literature as well. So, any other announcements need to be made for tonight? Anything else? All right. Brothers and sisters, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Let's stand and sing to his praise. Psalm 91 in the Psalter. And this is to the tune, "Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners." Psalm 91, and we'll stand as we sing together.
Who with God Most High find shelter in the mighty shadow hides. To the Lord I'll say, my refuge in my God, my trust abides. From the fowler's snare he'll save you, from the deadly pestilence cover you with outspread pinions, make his wings your God's own truth, your shield and buckler, you will fear no ill by night, nor the shafts in daylight flying, nor disease that shuns the light, nor the plague that wastes at noonday at your side, 10,000 fall. You will only see this judgment which rewards the wicked all. You have made the Lord your refuge, God Most High your dwelling place. Nothing evil shall befall you in your tent, no scourge you'll face. He will angels charge to keep you, guard you well in all your ways. In their hands they will uphold you, lest your foot a stone should graze. You shall trample serpents, lions, tread on all your deadly foes. For his love to me, I'll save him, keep him, for my name he knows. When he calls me, I will answer, save and honor him. Salvation with long life will satisfy.
O Lord God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we would come before you this day, and Lord, it would be our deepest delight to sing forth the praises of your name tonight. O adored Father, we rejoice in you, the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord Jesus, we honor you, the stone which the builders have rejected, for you have now become the chief cornerstone. Lord Jesus, we honor you, who after you gave your life as a sacrifice for sin, that you was raised from the dead on the third day and ascended up into heaven. Lord Jesus, how our affections are drawn out after you tonight. And O Spirit of the living God, we would honor you as you came down with fire on the apostles. And Lord, we look to you this night that you would once again, Lord, that you would stir our affections. Lord, that you would direct our gaze to the King in all his beauty. Lord, that this night we would rejoice in the depth of your sacred love for sinners and the depth of peace that you give to those who are rebels in your sight. We ask, Lord, that you would subdue the troubled waters. Lord, that you would stir our thoughts, that you would lift our affections and turn our feet to your testimonies. In all this we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our New Testament reading for tonight will come from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 4. From Matthew in chapter 4, and this is the first book in the New Testament, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 4. And this is the chapter which records the temptation of Christ and the beginning of his public ministry, beginning with verse 1. And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test."
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick and those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Let's respond to the reading of the word. We'll sing hymn number 460, seated while we sing together, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, That Saved a Wretch Like Me." Hymn 460.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and and snares. I have already come, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. And when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
If you're able and willing, we'd invite you to stand with us as we pray and seek the Lord together. Let's pray. Our most righteous God and our ever-blessed Father, we would draw near to You knowing that You are ready and willing to hear the voice of Your children, that Your ear is ever bent to the cries of our heart, and that You are a God who is most willing to receive repentant sinners. And so we come to You, O Lord, confessing our weariness, confessing that we are heavy laden, confessing that we have sought after the world's goods, confessing that we have loved the creature more than the Creator. Lord, we freely admit that we have transgressed Your holy laws, Your judgments, Your statutes. Lord, we confess that we've rejected much light. Lord, how much mercy. Lord, how much goodness and kindness have You shown to us. And yet, O God, what have we done? We have continued to wander astray. Lord, our affections grow cool. Lord, our thoughts become disordered. Lord, our ways grow wayward. Lord, would You hear us tonight as we plead for mercy? Lord, once again, we acknowledge and we confess the depth of our own sin. And so we would plead with You, O Lord, trusting that You, O Lord, are good and that You are ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon You. O Lord God of hosts, have You not proven to be that God of infinite mercy and kindness? Lord, that You are a God of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Lord, we ask that tonight You would once again pardon. Lord, that You would speak a word in season to those who are weary. Lord, that we would once again hear that sweet, rich, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Indeed, Lord, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. And so, Lord, we come to take again that yoke of Christ. We come once again to take Your commandments, which are not grievous or burdensome to us. Lord, we come once again asking that You would place our steps in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. We plead with You that You would sanctify us, Lord, that You would make us pure in heart. Lord, that You would purge our affections, that You would order our minds, that You would direct our thoughts. Lord, that You would specifically place our steps.
Lord, that we would be so moved by your infinite goodness and kindness that we would run in the ways of obedience and righteousness. Lord, whom do we have in heaven but you? Lord, there is none upon the earth that we desire besides you. And so, Lord, having been filled with your spirit of grace, we ask that you would stir us afresh. Lord, that we would love your law, that it would be our meditation all the day, that your statutes would be our counselors, that your commandments would be our portion. Lord, that you would incline our heart unto your testimonies and not to covetousness. And Lord, we ask your blessings on the mission of your church. Lord, that you would shower your church from unmeasured height. Would you shower your church with grace? Shower her with your spirit. Lord, would you equip her? Would you strengthen her? Would you make her strong and radiant, reflecting the very light of Jesus? We ask, O God, that you would build your church so that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would build your church and that you would make her beautiful in your sight. Lord, that you would iron out every wrinkle. Lord, that you would take us as living stones and that you would beautify our souls for your great name's sake. Oh God, would you rid us of idolatry? Would you rid us of corruption? And Lord, would you give us to simply delight, to delight in Jesus the cornerstone? Lord, would you lift the light of your countenance upon us tonight? Lord, would you give us that peace that passes all understanding? Would you send forth your victorious word abroad? Would you bring the strangers home drawn by that message of peace and mercy? Oh Lord, that we as your people would dwell close to the fountain of Christ. And Lord, that when we speak, Lord, that when we walk, that we would speak words of glory, words of light, words of mercy. Oh, come Holy Spirit, would you now open your word? Lord, would you now show us the things of Christ? Would you use your word now to speak a word of peace and that we might stand in awe? And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, our text tonight will be Psalm 4. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now, these ancient Hebrew poems, these songs of Zion, these portions of the church's hymn book, these are given to you. The Holy Spirit has given you these songs of Zion, and they are, as Calvin put it, they are an anatomy of the soul. Meaning these psalms describe and they address the whole range of human emotion. Every possible anxiety, restlessness, joy, sadness, triumph, temptation is found here in these psalms. And they are given to you. They were given to Israel. The apostles took them up as their own songs, and now they are handed down to you. And as we read these psalms, and as we pray, and as we sing these psalms, you also see so much of Christ. There's much that speaks to the believer in these psalms, but there's also so much of Jesus. There's so much of his soul in these psalms. They describe the inner life of our Messiah. What were the Old Testament believers to expect when their Messiah would arrive? Well, they were to expect an anointed king who would be betrayed. An anointed king who would reign over all the ends of the earth. and he would be the Prince of Peace. As we read Psalm 4, I want to ask you, how is it with your soul tonight? Is there a restless spirit? Is there any troubled water? The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. And he continues to hover over the deep of troubled souls. This psalm speaks of that depth of peace which you and I experience through the gospel. And I pray for each of you that any restlessness, any anxiety, any troubled waters would be subdued. And that the breezes of heaven would subdue those waves, and that the Lord would sit enthroned over the flood. We'll begin reading at verse 1, and we'll read through to the end of the psalm. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But no. That the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Well, I want you to think with me tonight what it is to experience the peace which David speaks of here when he speaks of lying down in peace and rest. I want to ask you, what is it to experience the peace of the Lord? Peace of mind, peace for a troubled conscience, peace for anxious souls sifting through the events of providence. What is it to experience the peace of the Lord? And so for a few minutes, I want you to consider with me that first of all, to experience the peace described here is to know the Lord. In order to experience peace, what must happen? You must come to know the Lord. Do you know God? Do you know this God as Moses did, who spoke to this God as a man speaks to his friend? Do you know the Lord? Look at this. Look at verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. His knowledge of God is expressed. He pours out his soul. He prays. He is a man who prays. How do you express your intimate knowledge of God? Well, you pray. This is what it is to know God. That you, spoken or unspoken, you know him. You know the Lord. You speak to him. Answer me. And you know that when you speak, that your prayers are not like a bouncy ball that hits the ceiling and comes back down. No, that He hears. You approach Him as the Catechism describes it in the preface of the Lord's Prayer. We approach Him as children to a Father who is ready and willing to help us. He answers. Answer me when I call. Now, why would He pray this? Answer me when I call. Well, He answers this because He knows the hearing is promised. And what is it to pray? What is prayer? Prayer is praising God, giving thanks for all His blessings, and asking Him for the things He has promised in the Bible. Answer me. God of my righteousness, the vindicator of my cause, my judge, the one who declares me righteous in His sight. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And He dresses us clothed in His righteousness alone because we've come to know. Look at this. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He's given us the seed of life. He has stirred us. He's caused us to be born again. He's given us faith. And that faith in His Son, what happens? By faith, your sin is credited to Him, and His righteousness is freely given to you. Oh, and His love, His righteousness, His mercy is most sweet and cherished. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So you experience peace through the knowledge of God, a knowledge that is expressed through speech, through voice, through petitions. Do you know the Lord? Have you come to know Him in your soul? Do you speak to Him? Have you now come to enjoy the light of His countenance? Did you notice this? Look down at verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? There are mockers and scorners. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Look, you see the light streaming in a certain way at particular times of day. Look, all creation declares His glory. There's not one corner of creation, not one piece of His nature, His created order that cannot speak to you. Even the way the light comes in through the window, even that very light can teach you what He does in the gospel, that He rises and He shines His favor upon you. Do you know the Lord? Do you know this God? Has He caused you to be born again? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. This is that benediction. Do you walk in the light of His benediction? Yes, you are under the world's frown and scorn. But do you walk under His favor, under His light? Do you know the Lord? He sets His people apart. Did you notice that? Look at verse 3. This response to the scorners and the mockers. How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But no, look at verse 3. That the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. That there is such a thing as godliness and piety and devotion. That He sets us apart. He sanctifies us. And oh, there is no sweeter joy, there's no deeper delight than knowing that you have been set apart, purified, sanctified. Do you know the Lord? Has He given you faith in His Son? So to experience peace. You know this God. And the second thing I want you to see as we look at this text together, you not only know the Lord, you also hear the Lord. To experience, to enter into His peace is to know Him. It's also to hear Him. And when you hear Him, what does He say? Now, here is the call of the gospel. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call. My cry is to the sons of men. Now, when you hear that cry of the gospel, what is it that you hear? Look with me at verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 could be described as a summary of what it is to be converted to Christ, to experience the true knowledge of God, to be turned from darkness to light, to pass from death unto life. So look with me at verse 4. He says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Okay, that command, be angry and do not sin, it could also be, it's a tricky translation. It could also be translated there, stand in awe. Be angry. You see the footnote down at the bottom of the page, or be agitated. Different ways to translate. This is a tricky Hebrew word. I like the translation, though, that says stand in awe. Now, you stand in awe of the holiness of God, the majesty of God. What do you hear? When you hear the call of the gospel, you hear this cry to stand. You hear this cry to behold His beauty, His majesty, His justice, His holiness. Stand in awe and do not sin. It's a call to confession. It is a call to examine your own life. Stand in awe and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts. This is a call to deep, searching self-examination. Oh, that under the Spirit's probing and guidance, what happens? You behold the holiness of God. You see your sin for what it is, and you examine. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Another translation there for that word silent is to simply be still. When you're still and silent, what do you hear? In those early moments of the morning, when you first awake, some of you all are early risers. What do you hear? In that solemn stillness, whether you're an early riser or not, in those moments when you are calm and still before the Lord, what do you hear? He calls us to be still and know that He is God. And did you notice in verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. To experience His peace is to hear Him. You and I, we have to pause and be still long enough to hear. And when you hear, what happens? You hear His word, you respond to His word, and you are taught to worship. You are taught to offer sacrifices. You offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and then you're trained and you learn to also offer particular sacrifices, public worship, spiritual sacrifices. This is the Christian life. that you're still before the Lord. You ponder your own heart and you learn to offer right sacrifices. And at its core, at its very depth, what are you learning to do? Look at verse 5. You are learning to put your trust in the Lord. Leave to your God to order and provide, that He will arrange the future just as He has the past, and you can entrust your soul to a faithful Creator. You hear Him. You know the Lord. And because you know Him, you hear Him. You listen. And you learn. But ultimately, to experience the peace of the Lord is to experience the Prince of the Lord. Okay? If you were to echo the words of David in verses 7 and 8, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. If you were to compare those verses to what the prophet Ezekiel says about the Messiah in Ezekiel chapter 34 and chapter 37, and if you were to compare what the Messiah is going to do, how is he described? Ezekiel 34, verses 25 through 27, he is described as causing us to lie down. Chapter 37, he is described as establishing a covenant of peace. It is promised there that David would be the shepherd. Now, he would be the king. He would be the prince. My prince, David, will give them peace. Now, David, at that point, he's long passed into glory. David is no longer alive. He's no longer walking the earth. So what is he doing? He's describing there David's greater son. He's describing the prince, the Messiah. He's describing the Lord's anointed. What will the Lord's anointed do? Oh, will he not give his people to lie down in green pastures? Will he not cause his people to rest, to be at peace? Ezekiel 37, there's this description of the two sticks. There's the tribe of Judah and then the tribes of Israel. It's a divided kingdom. And he is described there as taking these two sticks and he joins them together. And they are one. There is one people again under one Lord, one shepherd, one king. What is it that Christ has done? What does the Apostle Paul describe Jesus as having done in Ephesians chapter 2? He is our peace. That he has made the two into one. He has brought not only Judah and Israel back together. He has brought Jew and Gentile together under the cross, under the shadow of Calvary. You have Jesus, and now is Christ described. He is our peace. Oh, is Jesus your peace tonight? Can you say of the Lord Jesus that the joy you have through Him outshines all the world's offers? Look at verse 7. You have put more joy in my heart. Can you say this straight out to your Prince, the Lord Jesus, tonight? You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Can you say to Him that you have no higher expectation, no higher joy, no greater ambition than to be found at peace with Him? It's an expectations game. When you expect and when you demand, look at verse 7. The abundance of grain and wine.
when you expect and you demand more of the world's treasures, you are setting yourself up for a life of anxiety and restlessness, discontent, a life that will experience no peace, no lasting joy. It's an expectations game. What are you expecting? Oh, but rather for the Christian, for the believer, that you and I would expect nothing more than to be found at peace with Him, peace of conscience, joy that outshines all the world's offers. Can you rest tonight satisfied with His glory? Are you satisfied with Him? Are you content with Him? That's ultimately why David, that's why the psalmists are able to say, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." They're able to rest without that restlessness because they have found their rest in Him. And when St. Augustine penned his magisterial work, the Confessions, that's how he opened on the very first page. "You have made us for Yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in You." Do you know the Lord? Do you hear His call? Are you resting in His Prince? The Lord Jesus is your righteousness. He is your light. Is He not your portion? Is He not your abundance? Is He not your riches? And have you not been drawn not only to Christ, but have you not also been drawn into His body, the church? Have you not been made a citizen of Zion, the heavenly city of God? Is that not why you rest at peace and content? "You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in Your name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Tonight, would you place your deepest trust in the King of Zion? And would you find your portion? Would you find your treasure? Would you find your joy in the God of your righteousness, who hears you when you call, who bends His ear to you, who clothes you with His righteousness, who sanctifies and purifies you, who lifts the light of His countenance upon you, who pronounces His benediction over you, outside of which there is nothing but cursing and scorn? Would you rest in Him tonight? As you lay down to rest, would you rest in His strong, loving, everlasting arms? Would you be sanctified tonight by His precise, holy hands? Would you be purged and purified by His truth? Would you stand in awe? Would you ponder upon your own beds this evening? And would you be still? Oh, that He would lift His light upon each of you, that He would give you that deepest, solid joy and lasting treasure, which none but Zion's children know. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in You. And so we ask that tonight we all, with one voice and heart and song, would sing Your redeeming grace, which has given such a refuge and such a rest to anxious souls. Lord, lift the light of Your countenance upon Your church. And tonight, give us to lay down in peace and sleep. For You alone, O God, make us to dwell in safety as the citizens of Zion City. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.